very interesting lecture, especially when we're counting numbers. In the back of your mind, you know, you have like incalculable, time is incalculable, becomes incalculable square. I mean, you know, it's easy to read it, but actually we cannot count it. So what I'm trying to say is like, what we cannot conceive doesn't mean that it doesn't actually, it's not there. It is there, we just don't see it.
I think by counting in this way, everybody can correspond that back to the sutra. 2,000 years ago, people already opened their mind, opened up by that fast, that day. And now it's our time to do it. And I'm so glad that AWE already have that concept and has a very good curriculum. So everybody would get the benefit out of that.
Appreciate all the comments. They are great comments. Now, I'd like to ask everyone this question, which I had asked before, okay? And specifically, I'd like to ask it to new friends who join us. Can we go back to the thinking box slide? So I asked that question before. Infinity here is still marked by a box. What happens if there is, if you break out that box? What do you have? Infinity here is still a box. I asked that question before, when I first exposed to this slide. Okay, I promise you I was going to, oh, by the way, Jonathan and T, you did the assignment. You were counting breaths. We were counting numbers. Okay, I was going to, kind of review my answer and share with you. But, I think it's still evolving, okay? All right, so now, I promised you kind of think about it, but it's still evolving. So, what happens here? What would we expect when we have no infinity box? Okay, nobody asked that question? I asked that question, okay? I have already told you my answer to that question. I think I have. Okay, think seeing the enlightened the other. And by the way, that is not saying enough. I'm going to ask Jing Xihing to elaborate. Okay, my question. So,
as long as I was going to disclose my answer, I think I might have. I asked that question infinity. I gave you the answer. But I gave you my answer earlier on. Did you catch it?
Thank you, Dr. Chen, for a very enlightening lecture. Okay, so we have 5-10 more minutes. I'd just like to do a little recap of what we learned today. First, I want to put our curriculum now back into our holistic thinking. Right? We start out asking you for an assignment. How many breaths do you think you would breathe in this one lifetime? And many reply, I don't know. So many breaths, I cannot count it. Right? So after today's lecture, do you not feel that the number of breaths we will take in our lifetime is actually a very small number? Yeah. And it's quite comfortable, isn't it? It's quite conceivable compared to the number of streams that we have learned today, right? Now, if you agree with that viewpoint, we have already succeeded in the, what is the title of the lecture? How to open our mind, right? Before, our mind was thinking inside a very small box, and we think the number of breaths is already way too big, way too irrelevant, right? But as soon as we open our mind, oh, the number of breaths we take in one lifetime is rather finite. It's rather limited, a rather small number. So this is how we open our mind. Plus, Dr. Chen mentioned about Zen. So that is the Zen thing about the assignment. It gives you a question, seems to have no answer. But if you Zen that question, it's very Zen. And there's no right or wrong answer. Zen is like that. Because right or wrong is a duality.
transcend is to open up our mind so that we will transcend duality. All right? So in this whole AWB curriculum, Zen is embedded in every lecture. But I don't call it Zen. I want you to discover that it is actually embedded Zen in all of us. And then, in the end, you will come out understanding Zen much more profoundly than people who deliberately go and study Zen. And therefore, put the emphasis on the lotus sleeping, breathing, meditation skills, and the walk, and all those correct. With all due respect, that's only a very small, small part of Zen. Zen, one of the approach of Zen, an important approach, is what we call questioning. And when we get serious about questioning, that question can be all-consuming, that we put our whole passion, our life passion, to answer that question, and it becomes a passionate question. Zen master, they all carry a passionate question, and they pursue the answer just very similar way as we pursue what is duality, how to open our mind. And as soon as that breakthrough is called, broken through the Zen gate, it's like a wall, like a gate, that confines us into that inside the thinking box. And once you break through, it's called breaking through the Zen gate, that in Guan. That is the gate, okay? The gate meaning the thinking box. So that's the one thing. Second thing I want to comment is that, see, Qi is correct when she said finite and infinite are opposite. She is absolutely correct if we go to that infinity slide. Right? She said, yeah, finite means measurable. So something measurable is not unmeasurable, right? By definition. And then when we look at the definition of infinity, that means it's immeasurable. If something is immeasurable, it cannot be measurable. So, by definition, they are opposite. Therefore, by the human definition, and this is how the society thinks, and by their definition, that's why I say definition is so critical and important, right? We can challenge the definition. That's fine. As we break through duality, we challenge that mission. But when we live in this very society, this very life with our friends, family, brothers, and everything, we have to speak their language. So we have to abide by the definition. And therefore, we have to speak and act precisely as slide number 47 does. But in our heart, in our spirit, we transcend the duality, but we still live with most people. So we still speak the same language, but our heart is not, okay? So that is the fun part about Buddhism. You transcend this earthly realm, but yet we are still in this earthly realm. But you're a different person now. You've resolved all the conflicts. So, Qi is correct, by definition. And then, Jordanson is correct when she says, no, I disagree. He challenged those definitions. No, I don't think finite and infinite are opposite concepts. So it's speaking one we call the societal order within the earthly realm. Okay, Qi represents the earthly realm language, and Jonathan represents the beyond this earthly realm language, when he transcends duality and spoke like that. Right? Now, very interesting and Zen thing. When Jonathan transcends the duality and say, finite is not any different from infinite, infinite is not any different from finite. Then, as he was describing that, suddenly he was out of words. Remember? At the end of that very sentence, he said, well then he cannot continue talking, right? Why? When you transcend duality, what can you say? There's nothing more to describe once you transcend it. That is why the Zen masters say nothing. That is why the Zen language is so difficult. That is why we do not begin learning Zen. We learn the sutra first. After one whole year and everybody graduates, then we will venture into Zen, I promise you. But unless we have all this prerequisite, all this foundation, let us not talk a language which is languageless, which is Zen. So that's what is Zen. So I want the class to take note that as Jonathan becomes wordless at the end, and when Dr. Chan says, what happens if there's no infinity box, okay? And everybody's lost of word to answer him, isn't it? When you're lost of word to answer Dr. Chan, and when you can hear what Jonathan said in no words, you have the correct answer, which is the same answer to a passionate question. So I'll just close the class on this remark. And thank you very much. Appreciate your attendance. Without you, there is no class. Thank you very much.